What is a Christian view of work? Or should the way that Christians work, should we approach it differently than somebody who doesn't know Jesus and the way that they work? I think there should be a difference between the way that Christians approach work and how non-Christians do. We really need to have a bigger vision of what work is, especially if we are followers of Jesus. Because ultimately, what gives our work meaning is not the green pieces of paper or the ones and zeros on a computer screen that somebody gives us. It's not our money that gives our work meaning, but it is ultimately Jesus. And if Jesus is the one who gives our work meaning, then that means it's not just the work that we get paid for that can have meaning, it's all of it. It means that God cares about all that we do for work. And really, when I talk about work, I just mean anything that we do in the world. Anything that we do to contribute to the flourishing of human beings or the care of creation and the world that God has given us. Anything ultimately that we do is work, whether it's work that you're paid to do as a part of your job or whether it's just work that you're doing around the house or work that you're doing in your garden. And what we're going to see is that Scripture ultimately is a lot more concerned about how we approach our work than the particulars of what it is that we do for work. The primary issue that God is concerned about in our life is really, not what we do for a job, but how do we approach all the work that we do in our life. And so our sermon this morning is going to kind of look at that. We're not going to be able to unpack everything on how, full theology of work, but we're going to really look at kind of two principles for how Christians should approach work in Proverbs 22, verse 29. So if you have your Bible, if you would stand with me for the reading of God's word from Proverbs 22, 29. Do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. The grass withers and the flower fades, but God's word stands forever. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would be here this morning in this place, that your Holy Spirit would be among us and work through us, that you would illuminate your word, that you would help us to understand what it has to teach us about work and what it has to teach us about Jesus. And would we leave this place having been changed after having an encounter with you and your word? We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. Our first point, if you're taking notes in your bulletin, is that we need to do good work that honors Christ. We need to do good work that honors Jesus. Again, our verse says, you see a man skillful in his work, he'll stand before kings, he won't stand before obscure men. The proverb isn't just calling us to like observe this person or to take a look at them. It's really calling us to imitate him. And there's two things that we should really see from this. The first is that we need to try to do skilled work. We need to do good work. It means that we need to be working hard as unto the Lord. And whatever that work is, that we need to do that work well. Proverbs is encouraging us to be like this man who is skilled in his work or who's skillful there. And it's skillful, it implies something about the quality of the work, doesn't it? It's not just implying that they're at work. It's not just implying, well, giving it their best shot or doing their best. It's somebody who's become good at what their work is. And they're not just decent or good at it. They're becoming so good that their skill is beginning to get noticed by others. That they're so honored for their work. That they do it so well, other people want to learn from them. Other people want to honor them. And that's why they're invited to come and stand before kings. And we should be people who strive to be skilled at what God has given us to do for our work. But we want to get better at it. We want to improve. We don't just want to do the bare minimum. We don't want to just cut corners and take the easy way, but that we want to do work that honors God and is skillful. And it's not just that we want to, do it the right way. We want to try to get better. We should be trying to improve. We should be trying to learn, not just try to keep coasting or just punching a clock. And this should be true of whatever our work is, whether it's the work that you're doing currently for your job or whether it's work that you do when you're volunteering. There's a number of nonprofits in our town, in our community. There's a number that all of us are involved in various ways. And the work you do volunteering, like at Caris, the Pregnancy Center, or at the Safe Center, or One True Light, Beautiful Day, Kindred Community, many that our church supports, or many of these others. When you go there and you're volunteering and working, what kind of work should you be doing? You should be doing skillful, good work. We should strive to do all of our work that way, whether it's work that's just around the house as you're repairing things or taking care of stuff or cleaning up. The work that you do caring for your children, your grandchildren, all of that work should be done well. And the way that we approach that work should be different as followers of Jesus than as those who don't know Jesus. Now, there can be a danger here if we put too much of an emphasis on what it means to do work that is skillful or to be good. We can make it seem as if God is just after excellence. But God is after our faithfulness. He's not just after our talent or our skill. It's not like God is the general manager of a sports team who's looking and evaluating talent to figure out who the best people are so he can, you know, draft them and call them to be his sons and daughters so he can build an awesome team. No, he wants us to do our work and to do it well, and the primary way we can do it well is we try to be skillful at what God's given us. But skillfulness and excellence and doing good in it is not more important than doing it in a way that honors Jesus. It's not more important than holiness. I've shared before, I worked kind of briefly for a megachurch. One of their values, and it was not just a value that they wrote down, it was a value they put in their mission statement, so it was repeated over and over, and one of those values was excellence. And so they would often say things like, we need to do things to the very best of our ability, and if we're doing it, it must be excellent. It's unacceptable if it's not the best. College that I went to often said, hey, if it's Christian, it's got to be better. It needs to be the best because we want it to be excellent. And that's good. I mean, we should try to do good things. We should try to honor Jesus in it. But the danger comes when excellence and good work becomes a higher value than holy work or in following Jesus in the work. Because then it's not about being faithful and about honoring God anymore. It's just about being the best. And being the best and being the most skillful can get in the way of following Jesus very easily. If you want to have the best football team, that might not involve having the most holy football team. Sometimes having a holy, faithful football team might get in the way of winning. And you find out what's more important. Well, you know, maybe we'll let this person be on the team even if they don't really know Jesus because, well, they're really good. Well, okay, maybe this person just got caught selling cocaine, but they're an All-American, and we want to be really good, so maybe we'll just let it go this time. And if your goal is excellence, suddenly you start treating people as disposable, which is what I often saw at that megachurch. It just became about, we don't care how we're doing it or how we're treating people as long as the end result is awesome. But that's not what the proverb is calling us to. That's not what God's word calls us to. Because our work cannot be excellent if it's also not holy. It can't be good if it also doesn't honor Jesus. And so we have to do our work, and we do strive to do good work, but we must do it in a way and in a manner and in a fashion that also honors Christ. Because ultimately we have to understand and remember, we're not doing this for ourselves. Maybe some of you have owned your own business, or you know, you want to be your own boss, and that's really great because, well, then you get to be the boss. You don't have to listen to anybody else. You can do whatever the boss wants, which is you now. Okay, but even if you are your own boss, Jesus ultimately is your boss. And you need to be doing your work in a way that makes our ultimate boss happy. Because all of it is for Jesus. He has given this work to us. Whatever the work that you have is in front of you. He's placed you in the circumstance in your life right now where you're at. Are you going to honor him in what you do? We should approach our jobs and our work and everything that we do in our day as if Jesus has come down in front of us, stood before us and said, hey, today, here's what I want you to do. Here's the job I'm hiring you for. Now go do it in a good way that honors me. Because in effect, that's what he has. That's what our call to worship reminded us of this morning in Colossians 3:23. Whatever it is that we have, let's work heartily as unto the Lord. Whatever the work is, let's do it well for Jesus. We should work as if he's the boss. We should do good work that honors him. It would not honor him if we cut corners and did a bad job, but we also need to be sure that we work in a way that pleases him. So if our work isn't holy, it won't please him. Let's, maybe some examples might help here too. You know, if I became like the greatest preacher that's ever lived, but I did it because I spent all of my time ignoring my family and just holed up in an office and ignoring everything else I was supposed to do, that's so I could preach really excellent sermons? That's not good. That's not good work that honors Jesus. That doesn't honor him at all. I can think of Jonathan Edwards. He's one of America's greatest theologians. He's arguably one of our greatest pastors. Someone I have a lot of respect for. I have some complicated feelings about too. But he wrote numerous books, wrote a lot of great sermons, and he really was a genius. His mind was kind of unparalleled. And he would just write down on any every scrap of paper that he could find. Paper's a little more valuable then, so he would, you know, didn't have post-it notes, so he would just have a jacket and just pin all these papers all over and just write down all of his thoughts. Sometimes they were random, sometimes they were sermons. There's one piece of paper he had, and he wrote two sermons on it because he filled it up. One sermon was about the duty of a pastor in a church. It was a call for pastors to be faithful and to honor Jesus, even if the church and even if everyone around them is pressuring them to do otherwise. The other sermon on that paper was about the requirements for communion, that, you know, hey, if you're going to come and partake of communion, it's not enough to just have faith in Jesus. You also really need to be following him. We need to have holy lives. We can't be living as if we can just do whatever we want. So on one side of that paper was two sermons. The other side of that paper was a receipt. And it was a receipt describing his purchase of a 14-year-old girl named Venus as a slave. A human being made in the image of God that he owned. On one side. On the other side, some really excellent sermons. One side of the paper had excellence in theology and preaching. The other side was severely lacking in holiness and Christ-likeness. We got to do both. We have to do good work, and we have to honor Jesus in our work. If you're doing a job building a house as a contractor, you could build the most beautiful house that's ever made. You could, you know, not cut a single corner. You could do everything the right way. You could do it so well, the next contractor that came would open it up and go, wow, this other contractor was way better than me. I can't believe they did it this way. That's so awesome, which would never happen. Okay, but, you know, imagine that you did it that way. But if you do it that way, and you build the greatest house ever, but you do it while treating your employees terribly, and you don't pay them a fair wage, and you dishonor God at every step of the way in how you work, that's not work that pleases God. It's only an excellent house if you do it well and you honor Jesus in how you do it. We see this a lot with youth sports, kind of in a pursuit of excellence. For many parents in our country, sports is idolatry. Well, for most of us, sports is idolatry. But you see with youth parents is they chase excellence. And they chase skillfulness in trying to have their children be the best. So they sacrifice regular church attendance. They sacrifice time with God in pursuit of their own greatness and in working hard. But you and your children, you could achieve all of your sports dreams. They could get a full ride scholarship to Division I school. They could become Olympic gold medalists and professional athletes. They could become the greatest of all time. But all that skill doesn't amount for anything if you don't do it in a way that honors Jesus. There was a professor at Dallas who I liked. His class was hard, and he knew it was hard, but he started every class by saying, hey, this is going to be a hard class. For some of you, it's going to be a sin if you don't get an A in this class. Because you're smart, you need to do the work required to get it. But for some of you, you actually will be sinning if you get an A in my class. Because you have other stuff and other family and other things that you need to be doing. We got to do both. We need to do good work. We need to strive to do good work. But we need to make sure that we are doing it in a way that honors Jesus. And those have to go together. Whatever the work God has given us, we should do it to the best of our ability. Give it all that we have. We don't cut corners. We shouldn't be lazy. We should try to be skillful as if we're working to the Lord. It's not just about the quality of the work. It's about the content of our heart as we work. And I don't know about you. I can do good work with a bad attitude. I clean the house with a really bad attitude. It could look really clean, but inside my heart would be a mess. We have to do good work with a good heart. And you might be retired, and that's not letting you off the hook of following this verse either, okay? Because everything that we do, all of it, it's work, and we need to do it all in a way that honors God. Whether they're hanging out with those grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, that's work. It sure feels like work once they go home. Well, how can you be a skillful, Christ-honoring grandparent? How can you still do the work of a parent to your grown children, even though maybe they boss you around a lot more than you want? But how can you still parent them in a way that honors Jesus and do the work of that? Those of you who have young children, watching your children is incredibly difficult work. And when you do it with skill, and when you do it with an attitude that honors Jesus, it can be incredible. The work that you do outside, you do it in a garden of creation, that all that work, it honors Jesus when we care even for the small corner of the world that he's given us. And we do our work well, it bears witness to Jesus. When we do our work in a way that honors God, it can make people want to know more about Jesus. Really, all our work points to Jesus one way or another. The way that we do it will either make people see and they want to come know more about Jesus and they are drawn and attracted to Jesus, or the way that we work will make people want nothing to do with Jesus because of how we do it. There's a man in my church growing up in Nebraska that I knew. He was a mechanic. I don't know how much school he had. I don't think he had very much. I think he graduated high school. He spent most of his days in the garage just working on cars. He's a really incredible mechanic. Personally, I'm not handy at all, so anytime anything goes wrong, I grow more and more in my respect for those who are good at it, especially those who are good at fixing cars. One of the best things about his work wasn't just that he was really good, but that he did his work in a way that honored Christ. He was incredibly honest. You knew that you could trust him. He would never sugarcoat stuff and tell you that something was great when it wasn't. He wouldn't lie to you and tell you you need to pay him money to fix something that you didn't really need to fix. He would tell you, hey, okay, this broke. You definitely need to fix this or this isn't going to work. And he would tell you, well, this is probably something you should fix. You might be able to get away with not fixing it for a couple months, but then you're either going to sell a car or you're going to come bring it to me so I can fix it. And he would tell you some of the stuff, well, you know, I actually don't think that I can fix, but there's another guy over here. He does a good job on that. You should take it to him. You can trust him. And for decades, he just works in a garage, fixing cars. He serves at his church, teaches Bible study. Every week he goes to the jail to visit and tell men who are behind bars about Jesus. Just a small man in a small town. But his work matters. Matters not because he's ever going to have things written about him in big papers, but because he does it in a good way that honors Jesus. We should strive to do good work that honors Christ. Why? Our second point here, and our only other one, is that because we will stand before the King. We will stand before the King. Our verse again, do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. So what does this have to do with Jesus? Really, that's a question you should just always ask yourself as you're studying God's word, especially as you're studying the Old Testament. After you read it, you're kind of wrestling with it, just come to a moment and ask, well, what does this have to do with Jesus? What does this passage have to do with the gospel? How does it point to Jesus? The Proverbs, that's especially important because they're practical, they're straightforward. Okay, you could stand up in a church, really you could stand up in any religious gathering, you could just read this verse and you could just give a rah-rah sermon about how we should all do our best and work hard, and if we do, it'll pay off and we'll all be rewarded. And we can clap and go home. But that by itself doesn't have anything to do with Jesus. And you'll miss the fullness of the mystery and the fullness of God's word if you don't get to Christ. And so especially when you read the Proverbs, ask yourself, what does this proverb have to do with Jesus? How does it point to Jesus? How did Jesus obey this proverb? How did he live out this proverb? How did he avoid the trap in this proverb? And I mean, we know, okay, Jesus did all of his work in the name of God. Jesus did his work incredibly skillful, and the way that Jesus did his work led him to standing before rulers and authorities. That's helpful. That's good. Jesus definitely did that. That's not quite the gospel. But we also, when we look at this verse, it tells us we'll stand before kings. We know, well, this might not be true in my everyday experience. We don't have a king in our country. But we do know Jesus is a king. He's the King of Kings. And we know from the story of the gospel that one day every single one of us will have to stand before him. And he will evaluate our work, not based on just our skill and our talent, but on our faithfulness, on our faith. So that's kind of how I got here from this proverb. Why do we need to do good work? Well, we're all going to stand before Jesus one day. Ultimately, he's the King we'll have to stand for. And so we should aim to do good work. that honors him. Because one day when we die and we depart to be with Jesus, or when Jesus returns, all of us will stand there at the great white throne. Those who follow Jesus and have put their faith in him will be rewarded. Those who have rejected Jesus will be cast out to eternal torment. The scripture also tells us there's going to be rewards. Our call to worship pointed this out too. Whatever you do, work heartily as unto the Lord, not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance from your reward. We will also be rewarded for what we have done for Jesus. And it appears in Matthew and in other places in Revelation, there's some level of variance in some of these rewards. In some way, standing before Jesus on that day, it's like a performance review. Right? He's going to go over all that we've done, all that we've said, all that we've done in his name, and all the work we've gotten paid for, all the work we haven't gotten paid for. And if we've done it in a way that honors him, even if it was before obscure people, Jesus will reward us and honor us. If we haven't done it well, we'll still get to be with Jesus. We'll still get rewarded. I don't want to make it seem like anyone who's in heaven will ever be disappointed, because there won't be. But there does appear, for those who are more faithful, there is a greater reward. Now, we do need to remember and understand, too, as we read this. This is a proverb. Okay, this is not a spiritual promise. It's not a spiritual principle. It's a statement of wisdom. The Proverbs are all general wisdom statements. You will get into trouble if you try and take them as promises, if you try to apply them and or name it and claim it. You will end up very disappointed. This proverb is not guaranteeing us that everyone who does skillful work is going to be recognized before kings and world leaders. It doesn't mean if you do good at your work and you do it well, everything is going to go well for you and you're going to get promoted and promoted and promoted until finally you're the most important person. If you interpret it that way, you will be disappointed. I promise you. And a lot of disappointment that people have with the book of Proverbs comes when they don't understand and don't recognize. This is wisdom. It's not a promise. Well, I raised my child up in the church. Now they don't know Jesus. Well, I tried to discipline my child, but they're still a brat. They don't obey. Well, it's because it's a general proverb. It's wisdom. You should do that, but it's not promising that it will always be this way. Now, I don't mean the proverb isn't true, because it generally is, right? So those who get rewarded with presidential medals, Pulitzer Prizes, or other awards, they're usually people who are incredibly skilled, unbelievably talented. Okay, some of the greatest writers, poets, and artists that we have. They're people who have worked hard, and they improved, and they become great, and you do experience the rewards of that. It's kind of the American dream, right? That we work hard, and we do our best, and we get rewarded for our work. And that can be true, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes the people who get to stand before kings and queens have success just because of nepotism. Their dad's a great director, so they got to come be in a movie, even though they've never done that before. Even though somebody who's maybe spent decades toiling in the theater and working and trying to hone their craft never even gets an audition. Sometimes people get to stand before kings just because they were born into money. Child of a billionaire buys a company, makes himself a CEO instead of the woman who's worked her way up from the very bottom but gets passed over. Sometimes the most skillful and talented people aren't given an opportunity. We probably know lots of people who are unknown, who are just amazed at their talent and their ability. We couldn't understand why they didn't become something, or they got laid off or passed over. Some of this is just life, right? We live in a broken world. Things don't work out how they should. Now, God created the world, and it was good, and he filled it with peace, but sin fractured it, and sin broke it. And so now things don't work the way that God designed them to originally. Don't work the way that they're supposed to. Sometimes injustice reigns. Sometimes the most skilled don't get the reward they deserve. Sometimes bad guys win. But it's a proverb, so it's showing us the ideal world, that when everything's functioning as God has intended, and what we should work towards ideally is that we work hard, and those who work hard gets rewarded. What does it mean here too? Just because it doesn't guarantee success doesn't mean that we should just give up and be lazy, and who cares? Now, we do good work because we know that we will stand before Jesus, even if we won't stand before other kings. I also want to say here, because it mentions, you know, we won't stand before obscure men, saying, okay, you're skilled and you're not going to be forgotten. Okay, there is no obscure work with God. There is no work that is obscure. There's no obscure place. And when I was talking to Rika, our exchange student, you know, and she found out she was going to be in Duncan, Oklahoma, and she had to look up where that was. Okay, she knew a lot of the states. She didn't really know Oklahoma. She definitely didn't know where Duncan was. And so she was pretty scared when she was looking it up on Google Maps at first. Like, what kind of place are they sending me to? Places like Duncan and Marlow and Comanche, they might feel obscure compared to the vastness of the globe and the greatness of other cities that get talked about and all the acclaim. They're not obscure or meaningless to God. A lot of us, especially in our just American ideals, we want the best. We want to have lives of significance. We want our work to matter. We want it to be seen by as many people as possible. And a lot of our work can feel obscure and insignificant. But doing small things matters to God. Doing our small work matters to God, even if it doesn't feel like it in the moment. Even if it feels like a total waste of time. And who cares? Doing your best to have patience with your children, trying to teach them what they're supposed to do. Pulling weeds in the garden, even though you know you're going to have to do it again in a few days because they're going to grow back. Even something as small as making your bed in the morning, which seems unbelievably insignificant in the grand scheme of the universe and all the problems that are out there. But the hope of the gospel is that our work in Christ is not in vain. And the meaning of our work does not come from what we do. It comes from how we do it in a way that honors Jesus. It's one of my favorite benediction is that reminder that our work in the Lord is not in vain. It's one of my favorites because I hope that it sends us out and proclaims and reminds us that all of our work, no matter what it is that we do, no matter how obscure or meaningless it might seem, when we do it in the name of Jesus, when we do it in a way that honors Jesus, and when we do our best, it has meaning. Even the menial, even the tiny, because when we stand before Jesus, he will have seen it. And we will stand before the King of Kings. And those who have done good and Christ-honoring work will be rewarded beyond measure, no matter how much they were overlooked while they were down here. This is part of the hope of the gospel. Now, the sermon is kind of a lot about work, right? Work we need to do, need to make sure we do it well, have the right attitude, and we're going to stand before God and have to answer for the work that we've done. But our primary reward and the primary reason that we get to go be with is that we get to be with Jesus forever in heaven for a little while, and then with him again in the new heavens and the new earth. And the reason that we want to do any of this is because of what Jesus has done. The reason that we can go boldly before the throne of God, even though we know that so much of our work that we've done really isn't very good and probably hasn't honored Christ very much. The reason we can stand boldly there is because of Jesus' work on the cross. Because of the perfect life that Jesus lived, because of his sacrificial death and our place on the cross, and because he has credited his righteous work into our account. Group projects are probably my least favorite form of work, especially in school. Okay, I see some of you nodding your head, so you know, you seem to have had about as much fun in group projects as I did. Okay, the problem is, these are always terrible because there's people in your group that are usually terrible. Okay, and if you don't know, if you don't hate them, you were probably the terrible one in your group that I didn't like. Okay? And the thing about it, you get put in the group and somebody, usually one person, sometimes a few people, end up having to do all the work. Because maybe somebody does a little bit of the work, but it's terrible, and it's going to bring the grade down. So someone else has to fix it. And so that was me. I wanted a good grade, and so I've got to get it all done. And then we go before the teacher, and we present and say, hey, here's our work. Look, and all of our names are on it. Now, it should just be my name, because I'm the one who did everything. And I haven't seen this person. I forgot they were in this class, but they emailed, they put their name on it. So here we go. Here's our group work that I did by myself. In a way, the gospel is like a group project. Okay, we were supposed to present before God a perfect and blameless life without sin. But the only thing any of us contributed to our work was just lots and lots and lots of sin. And lots of failing. And we kept bringing the project down, and we kept sidetracking it with everything and getting worse, and we failed. Except that Jesus came, and he decided, hey, I'll come join your group. And don't worry about it, I'll do all of it. And we don't contribute a single thing. And yet, Jesus writes our name next to his when he presents it before God. And we get to have all of the rewards that Jesus earned and that Jesus did, not because of anything that we did, but because Jesus decided to put our names in the book of life. In a very small way, that's what the gospel is like. Jesus does all of the work. All we do is contribute our sin and failure. And yet one day when we stand before the King, we will get to be richly rewarded, not because of how awesome we were, not because of how incredibly skillful we were in all of our work, but because of how amazing Jesus is. Now that, and if we could just recognize, and if we could appreciate and meditate on the depth of the beauty of the gospel, how do we respond? How would that change how we worked? I think it should. It should make us want to do good work that honors Jesus, because we know our salvation is secure. Our reward is secure. Our work has already been turned in. It's already been graded, and if you've put your faith in Jesus, he's already given you an A+. You're safe. You can take a deep breath. But this should motivate us. It should make us want to do work that honors Jesus. It should make us want to live with faith because we know we'll stand before him and we don't want to be ashamed on that day. So where have we been today? Just had 2 points. Our first one is we just need to do good work that honors Jesus because one day we'll stand before the King. As I read this proverb, and as I think about the fact that Christ invites us to go to work with him and that there is no menial work and no meaningless work and no work that will not be seen and rewarded by Jesus when he comes, encourages me, motivates me. It makes me want to do work that honors Jesus. And we don't have to be motivated by fear. We don't have to be motivated by the fear of fire and brimstone or hell. We can be motivated by the gratitude of the gospel. We can be motivated by gratefulness, and we can be encouraged that God cares about our work, that it's not about what we do for work, it's about how we do it. And even our obscure works, the work that it feels like nobody sees and nobody cares and will die and then we'll be forgotten and no one will know what we did and no one will see what we did in most of those moments when we're all alone, can know that Jesus sees and Jesus knows and Jesus smiles at us when we do work in a way that honors him. And Jesus will reward us greatly for the work that we've done when we do it in his name, through his power, for his glory. Let's bow our heads as we pray and invite our worship team to come up. Lord, I pray that you will encourage us and that you will strengthen us. Lord, we want to do work that pleases you. We want to do work that has meaning. But we know and we recognize we can only do it through you. We need your Holy Spirit to aid us and we need you to help us. Lord, would you encourage us? Would you help us to do work that honors you, not out of fear that you'll be disappointed, not out of fear that we'll be punished or that we'll miss out on something or some reward in heaven, but would we do it out of love for you? Would we do it out of gratitude for what you have done for us? Lord, would the gospel continue to change us and continue to transform us and continue to sanctify us as we follow you? As we leave this place, Lord, today, would we all go into our work, our vocational work, our work at home, our work with our families, our work outside, whatever it is that you have given us to do in this life, would you help us to do it in a way that pleases you so that one day we can hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. We pray this in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. Won't you stand as we worship our Savior in song one more time? If you think about it, be praying for elders as we have our meeting this afternoon. And here's our benediction from 1 Corinthians 15. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. God bless you. Go in peace.